Crunchy.
Food court with Richard Blaze. Argue in the food court with Richard Blaze.
Welcome to The Food Court, a production of iHeartRadio. Food Court is now in session. I am your host and judge, Richard Blaze, and in this podcast, I will tell you if you're right or wrong about your weird food opinions. So let's get into it today. Joining us in the court, we have a serious journalist who reports on global conflicts and has somehow found himself in the food court of the Behind the Bastards podcast. It's Robert Evans.
Hey, not that serious.
What is going on, Robert?
I am hungover and drinking lukewarm coffee. That's what's going on for me. It's a Friday, so that's pretty normal.
This is perfect for the food court. That's how most people enter this court, Robert. So you're in good shape.
Good.
Going up against Robert is a rapper, a spoken word artist, a poet, the host of the podcast Hood Politics, and the co-host of the Red Couch Pod. It's Propaganda.
What up? I was smart enough to take some Tylenol before I went to bed, so I'm not hungover.
I like it. So now I'm assuming that were you both in the same party last night?
No, we're in separate states.
I love it. You have a much better social calendar than I have.
No, I actually spent part of last night plucking and stripping a duck because my friends have a bunch of ducks, and the dog that I'm fostering accidentally murdered one last night. So that was part of my party.
Okay. First of all, that is without question like the beginning of a screenplay right there, and a podcast series.
Yeah, you win, bro. I was just sitting on the porch with my brother-in-law. That's all I did. I didn't pluck a duck.
Well, I don't have a porch, so.
So there's that.
More exciting than watching the latest episode of Mayor of Eastwood. That's how I spent my night last night. Listen, Propaganda, I know we're just meeting now, but can I call you Prop or?
I mean, I would hope so, because to continue to call me Propaganda would just be a little too formal for me. So yeah, go ahead and shorten that thing to Prop.
All right, Prop, I like that too. It would be the formal recognition here. Now listen, Prop, what a year. You've co-hosted a show about the insurrection this year that it was only in January, but it feels like it was like a year or two ago already, doesn't it?
Yeah, man, it's like the breakneck speed that, you know, our lives and our culture is moving. Just, yeah, things feel like a lifetime ago.
And now, of course, you've made the next logical step. You've gone from a podcast about the insurrection to discussing butter in the food court.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, you need the palate cleanser and discuss how, yeah, butter should be on trial along with all the insurrectionists.
All right.
I consider this an insurrection against flavor, by the way.
Okay.
I like it. We're getting
coming
into
in with
it.
The hard bars already. All right.
Getting into it already. Now, listen, Robert, as a journalist, you get to travel the world. So what are some of like the most interesting things that you've eaten as you've traveled?
So I spent a decent amount of time in Ukraine back in 2015, and I'm not in love with Ukrainian cuisine, with one exception, and that's salo, which is basically you cook down bacon until it's like the consistency of guacamole, and it's incredible. Salo is one of my favorite, like, weird dishes that I've run across in the world. It's delightful.
Okay, so
I mean,
this is bacon that
not
just
all that
gets
slowly,
cooked down into like a spreadable, mashed up situation.
That's how I would describe. I don't have no idea how you make it, but you usually like see it like some old lady will bring it out in a pan, and you like have this salo that you dip stuff into and whatnot, and it's like, yeah, it's like mashed bacon. It's good.
I gotta tell you, man, that sounds incredible.
Yeah, it's delightful.
It really does. I mean, you can open up a restaurant right now in Brooklyn with just that as the only menu item, probably, and just spread it on some toast. Mm-hmm.
People love salo. All right,
spread that rather than butter.
There we go. We're getting into it now. Prop, listen, you bust rhymes. Sorry for me saying that, but you bust rhymes, right? You're a freestylist.
Yes.
You're a hip hop enthusiast, a rapper. You've spent time on the road. So what about
yes.
you? What are some things that you've encountered in your travels?
Oh yeah, some of the strangest, you know, foods, and well, strange to me because of where I'm from, but like I'm pretty adventurous when it comes to my palate, you know. So yeah, South Africa has given me some of the like raddest like combinations of food. They have this thing that looks, that I can only describe as like the masa for a tamale, but it's not that. I don't know what the substance actually is, but it reminds me of the masa for a tamale. And then you put this seasoning that it's a Zulu seasoning that translates to the word beg. It just translates to beg, but it's like, it's probably the spiciest, and I'm saying this as somebody who's married to a Southern Mexican, like first gen, like my mother-in-law doesn't buy salsa because they're not hot enough. She makes her own with, you know, jalapenos that they ship from Mexico. So that's probably the spiciest thing I've ever eaten in my life.
I like it. And is it called? I just had an experience with something similar. The masa texture. Is it called fufu? Does that sound?
Yes, that's the name.
So fufu, we're filming, just got done filming Top Chef this year, and we filmed in Portland. We had an amazing cast, and one of the chefs cooked this dish that was fufu, and to me it reminded me of masa
from a tamale, right?
Or even matzah.
Yeah,
really, really amazing. So
yeah, but they, yeah, that bag, bro, I took a whole jar back. I was like, this the hottest, and I mean, it's like, that's like dip your pinky in it, put like four flakes on it, like it's major.
That's it. All right, so a chili head for sure.
Yeah.
Now listen, what are some of the opinions? You guys know each other. You're partying separately, but in spirit collectively last night. What are some food debates that you have that are unrelated to today? Some strong food opinions.
Robert, tell them your stance on zucchini.
So I support, you know, I think we criminalize too many plants in this country, but I think we should criminalize squash and zucchini. I don't think any honest man needs to be able to walk around with a bunch of squash or zucchini. Now I think we can make like medicinal exceptions for butternut squash, but I'm against most forms of squash.
All right, prop. Are you down with squash or no?
It's like, I'm not passing it either way. I'm never going to order it. I'm never going to be like, can I get a side of squash? Or, hey, are you guys going to make some squash today? I'm never going to ask for it. But if it's there, I'll eat it, you know? Like, so I'm not sure it needs to be in like the prison industrial complex. But if it fell off the planet, like if the earth stopped making zucchini or squash tomorrow, I wouldn't miss it.
Yeah, you listen, I'm gonna take a hard hot take here, and I'm a chef, I'm the judge of this show. I guess what, guys? I kind of agree with you.
Good. I'm glad we're getting an official anti-squash ruling so we can begin the purge.
I can take it or leave it, you know?
Exactly.
The war on squash begins.
But I think if it's like, I can take it or leave it, it's kind of like, we don't need it, right? Like, if you don't need it,
then leave it. Yeah. That's a great argument. Now, where what I do feel like needs to be shot into space and forgotten forever is pumpkin pie.
Oh, ooh, now, see, this is where we disagree.
I wanted to say, this is where I draw a line right here, Prop.
I'm gonna call out the obvious here. I'm gonna call out the obvious here. I'm the only black guy on this pod right now. And
that's true.
I'm gonna say for absolute fact that 100% minus the homie Kev on stage agrees with me that the only appropriate pie is sweet potato pie in this particular situation. And I'm surprised, Robert, as a Southerner, that you wouldn't support the sweet potato movement, the tater pie, as y'all call it.
I think, you know, there's different kinds of Southerner, and I came from the pumpkin pie. Well, pumpkin pie and rhubarb pie. Those were like my childhood pies.
Okay.
And particularly pumpkin pie was always a get up in the morning during the holidays, and then as an adult, get up hungover in the morning during the holidays. And that's your breakfast, is a huge slice of pumpkin pie with like liquor coffee. And it's one of the very best things in the world when you have it that way.
But I mean, I feel like that was sweet potato though. Like that's, you know what I'm saying? And I just feel
I suspect they're interchangeable for that use, for sure.
Yeah, they're just, it's just so deceiving because you put your fork into a pumpkin pie expecting a sweet potato, and then you're pissed because it's not a sweet potato. It's like, stop being like, I wish if pumpkin would just take on its own shape and color, I feel like I wouldn't be as insulted by it. You know, I feel like this about like vegan options of things. I feel like if you would just call it like vegan mac and cheese, I'm like, don't call it that. This is coconut sauce, you know, butternut squash, curly noodles. Don't call it mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Just call it something else.
I hear you on that. I think you're right. If you're going to make a vegan burger, just call it a black bean patty. You don't need to call it a burger.
Thank you.
But it's fine. Prop, I have to disagree. My thoughts on sweet potato and pumpkin pie is the exact opposite of yours. When I first experienced a sweet potato pie, I was like, oh, it's pumpkin pie, but with sweet potatoes. You have the reverse.
Yeah, that's exactly my, yeah.
And I think, honestly, most people, you put both in front of them, they would not know the difference. Most people.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. They're strong opinions. My family almost didn't accept my wife-to-be at the time when she attempted to bring a pumpkin pie into, and I warned her. I was like, okay, you're going to go meet my Ethel, and we're going to 64th of Vermont in South Central Los Angeles. Do not, I'm begging you, do not bring this thing into her house. Like, I'm begging you, don't do this.
I love it. There is by the way, we're going to have to YouTube this, Crystal, because there is a 30 Rock segment with Tracy Morgan. And the scene is they're at a restaurant and the server is with Tracy Morgan and his boys. And the server's like, tonight's special is a pumpkin ravioli. And the server leaves the table and Tracy turns to his boys and he says, did he just say pumpkin to me?
Yes.
And he was super offended.
Yes. Now I hope the joke has just gotten a higher dimension for you as to like how offensive that feels, so where you're just like, what the? And then I used to tease my wife because I used to say, man, that's the dessert of the colonizer. Like, y'all just like that. And then she came back to me and was like, well, pumpkin was discovered and cultivated by the Aztecs. And
there we go.
So actually, you have.
By the way, touche.
The taste bud of the colonists.
Touche.
And I was
right
like,
there.
Damn.
Pumpkin is liberatory.
Yeah, she was like, it's indigenous. This is
it's
from
the
Mesoamerica.
People's pie.
It's the people's pie.
No, that I'm apple like, pie. I love a good apple pie, but I'm,
I love a great. I, you know, we have no argument there. I love a great apple pie.
I think
it's
we've
very
done,
hard to not like apple pie.
Have we done a pumpkin pie apple pie? We have no. Ooh, I'm sensing
a papple pie.
A round two when the holidays come close.
Yeah,
I do want to circle back to the question of whether or not, you know, vegan patties should be called burgers and stuff, because I generally agree with that, but there's one exception to the calling fake meat meat, and that's the fake fried chicken at Doomy's Home Cooking in Los Angeles.
Okay.
I'm fine with them calling it fried chicken. That makes the cut for me.
What's the differentiator there though?
There's no discernible difference in taste. The spot that you just called out, I'm like, they figured it out. There's no You can't. I did not know it was vegan. I didn't know.
It's an exceptional vegan restaurant that's run by a guy who's not, as I understand it, Chef Doomy is not vegan. He's just a Cajun dude who had a bunch of vegan friends and was frustrated that there was no like heart murdering soul food available for them. So he started like a soul food restaurant that's all, and it's incredible stuff.
I'll drive all the way over to the West Side for it. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest LA compliment you can make. I'll drive all the way to the West Side for it.
That is the most
I will
possible
deal with traffic for their food.
I will take the 405 for you. That is love.
I am feeling this already. You guys have already had three arguments and argued with me two or three times already. Today's episode, not about squash. Although, to put that to rest, here's the thing. Squash is easy to grow. That's why there's so much of it.
Yeah.
You throw it down in any sort of dirt pile, you're going to grow a lot of squash. But here we go. Robert, let us know in a sentence or so the case that you brought to the food court today.
Well, we're talking about butter, right? We have a major butter-related dispute. R.E., is butter good or is butter unpalatable? And I'm firmly on the yes to butter side. That's where I land on the great butter debate.
All right, Prop. That means that you dislike butter, at least.
I despise butter. Do I need to start building my case yet?
No, we're going to get into that. Do not.
Okay. I think butter is just, it's objectively gross.
Uh-oh.
And it's actively killing you. So I think that these are two great arguments against it.
All right. Fair enough. Now listen,
I can't deny it.
Yeah, as a French-trained chef, this one's going to be tough to me because you could say that I use a lot of butter, but I'm going to try my best to be impartial and judge based only on the arguments today, not about my own personal feelings. Also, before we get going, prop, I just want to let you know the amazing chef Gregory Gourdet came in on this podcast a few episodes ago and also dropped the bomb at the end of the show that he hates butter, that he cannot stand butter. And he also happens to be one of the chefs that I respect the most. So you're not alone, even when it comes to chefs.
Good to know.
When it comes to the dislike for butter. Now, before we get going with the debate here at Food Court, we love to have a quick trivia round before the oral arguments. The winner of the trivia round gets to decide the order you present. So let's see which one of you knows the most about whatever random stuff I throw at you. And when I say I mean Crystal. Robert, what is your sound effect going to be for the trivia?
Like a cicada? Can we get a cicada drone here? That seems apropos.
Are you gonna make the noise with your? Are you gonna beatbox the cicada?
Yeah, I'll do the cicada noise. Yeah, that's more or less it, right?
I mean, I'm not sure I'm identifying it as a cicada, but it's a flying insect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's more or less a cicada.
Okay, fair enough, that works. And prop, what about you? What sound effect are you
going to
use?
I'm definitely going with the dancehall air horn. I mean, easy.
Mm-hmm. Easy.
By the way, taking me back for the 2 days that, believe it or not, in my life, I was somewhat of a part of a bouncing crew at a reggae dancehall. Stone Love forever.
So you were a part of the, like, security?
I mean, I was checking the list.
Okay.
But yes, I was not part of the security, but it was
there needs to be an entire podcast that's just stories about a dance hall club, because there's something so unique about that place. But
absolutely, and there's no other place where you can get curry goat at 4 a.m.
Right?
That's for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
I could go for some curry.
Question
goat,
one, getting into it. We're going, prop is taking the dance hall air horn.
Okay.
Robert's going to make the cicada noise. Here we go. Question one to see who goes first in the actual debate. Name the Queens-based rap group that has a song with the lines, not no parquet, not no margarine, strictly butter, baby, strictly butter. I'm not doing justice to that.
I could do a slow one.
You're going
to
get this
There we go. The slow, unenthusiastic air horn prop. The answer is...
Come on, man. Run DMC.
Ooh.
I'm sure you're right.
It's not Run DMC, and I might have did a disservice to the lyrics there because the way I read it.
Hold on.
A matter of fact, I'm going to drop a hint here. I feel like the song might have been called Butter. One of my favorite legendary.
So you're talking about it's like Butter, baby. It's like Butter. It's like Butter, baby. Okay. Yeah. So let me up your hip hop lessons here.
All right.
Okay, so that song by the one and only LL Cool J.
Oh.
Okay.
All right, yes.
Yes. Yes, that Butter, like Butter Baby song by the one and only LL Cool J was referencing a Rev Run verse.
Ooh. Okay.
From Run DMC.
Listen, I did not write the question, but
Crystal, how am I doing, Crystal?
My husband says that Tribe Called Quest wrote it.
Okay. I'm gonna go. Now if the tribe did it, you may have gotten me, and that's a little embarrassing because I should know a Tribe.
Yeah, how could you
song.
Not get that prop?
I might be losing stripes
I
here.
Don't know.
No, I think, by the way, the fact was you rattled off at least three different artists who have said lyrics very similar. So the answer is Tribe Called Quest.
Okay.
But here's how Food Court works. Prop, you're getting a half a point. Because
I'm
at least you participated in the answer. Robert, you had no response to this one.
Of course I didn't. I had no idea who that was from.
Dang, that's the tribe. Man, my friends are going to kill me. Now I can't share this pod because I just took a hip-hop L. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
No worries. I think it might have even been a track that Fife was... It was a track that Fife was rhyming on mainly. All right, here we go. It is half a point to prop, 0 points to Robert. Question two in the trivia. And I'm sorry, this is a question that might gross you out, prop, but how many sticks of butter does the average American eat in a year? This is multiple choice. How many sticks of butter does the average American eat? Just to, as reference, a stick is a quarter of a pound. A, 31, B, 12, C, 19, D, 23. Bzzz. That's going to be Robert Evans with more of like a doorman's buzzer. Okay, that's bad. That was the insect.
I don't know. It's whatever.
All right.
I'm going to guess 19.
The answer is... You want to take a shot at it, prop?
I feel like Robert did with the hip-hop question. I'm like, this. I don't know, 12.
Well, I mean, the difficulty for me in guessing this is that I have to not assume my own butter consumption, because during the holidays, I can put 19 sticks of butter in a single serving of mashed potatoes.
Oh, my God.
Which is the proper amount. Mashed potatoes should be about 80% butter by weight.
I agree with the mashed potato commentary for sure. The correct answer was 19. So you are right. Robert gets a point. 1 point to Robert, a half a point for prop. So that means heading into the last question here will determine who gets to present their case first. Okay, question three. In macroeconomics, which is a term I don't use frequently.
No.
What is the term used when referring to the dynamics involved in a federal government's allocation to defense versus social programs when deciding the budget? This is clearly a question geared towards, it's not geared towards me, that's for sure.
We both of us should know this. The macroeconomical term for setting the budget for social issues.
Federal government's allocation to defense versus social programs when deciding the budget. Hint. All right. Robert, buzzing in.
Is it allocation? Is that the term you're looking for?
Ooh, I will say this. I'm going to drop you a hint. The word butter is in this. The word butter is in the answer.
Oh, God.
Oh. Huh.
I'm looking. My eyes are going right up and to the right to access a certain part of my prefrontal cortex, and I'm finding nothing. I got nothing.
No worries. The correct answer per Crystal is guns and butter.
A colloquial term.
So like a slang term.
Okay, I thought it was like what they call it, you know, in the budget itself.
Yeah,
okay.
You juked
like
us. I thought it was, I was like, that's allocation.
Yeah, guns and butter,
but I was like, yeah, you juked
Brent
us.
Bread and circuses, sure.
Yeah, you juked us with the macroeconomic. Like, that made me go academic. That was a good juke.
And in all fairness, Crystal, I have to say, that's the hardest trivia round we've ever had on the show. Like, no joke. Like, that
it was
is
tough.
Usually like, what's another name for squash? Gourd, right? You guys got like... some really, really deep dives right
there. Some deep cut hip hop that has like three Russian Easter eggs of references in it. You upset it.
Yeah, from like 1989. All right, that means, I guess technically, Crystal, does that mean that Robert won the trivia by a half a point? So Robert, you get to make the hardest decision of food court. Do you want to present your argument about butter first or second?
Oh, I'm going to go second.
Man, you want to battle, you go first. Okay.
There we go. Robert's going to present second, taking the baseball approach. He'll be the home team. Mm-hmm. We'll get into the arguments in a second. But before we do that, here's a quick word from our sponsors. All right. We are back in the food court today. To recap, we have in the food court Robert Evans and Propaganda arguing about butter. That's right. Butter. The way this works is that each of you will have 3 minutes to state your case. During the 3 minutes, you cannot use your time to say negative things about your opponent's case. We're not going negative.
Got it.
You'll have time to do that in the rebuttal round. So the first 3 minutes is going to go to Prop. You're up first. Robert won the trivia round. You'll have 3 minutes to let us know why you can't stand and why we all maybe shouldn't be enjoying as much butter as some of us do. Prop, you ready?
Yes.
Your 3 minutes starts now.
Okay, 3 minutes. I'm going to give you the way to navigate my argument. I'm going to give you three positions. I'm going to give you a health position. Maybe not in this order, though. I'm going to give you a health position. I'm going to give you a texture position. And I'm going to give you a basic concept of position. So let me start first with the basic concept position. I don't know anybody who sees something and says, I'm going to wait till this rots and then mix it with oil and then eat it, right? So I'm going to start off with the idea that, like, this is rotten milk. It's rotten. And so it's spoiled. So the concept of it, I mean, I don't understand why. First of all, I don't really like milk very much. But the idea of taking a dairy and ruining it and then saying now it's right, conceptually, is just absolutely barbaric. My second argument is an argument of texture and taste, in the sense that, like, what is this mouth feeling? Like, what is that? What state of matter is this? Is it a solid? Is it a liquid? Like, this, what is this smell? Like, none of it makes sense to me, right? It doesn't feel right. If this is Crisco, is this cold, like, Crisco? What is this? Like, is it soap? Like, it's, I don't understand. You see how, like, it feels like it's already digested food. Like, this food is already digested, and you want me to digest it again? This is ridiculous. If you've accidentally touched a piece of poop, any parent has accidentally touched poop. I'm like, it's the way butter feels. So I can never disassociate the two. And then lastly, my argument is it's actively killing you. Your arteries are being clogged. There are plenty of other alternatives of things you can put on things that aren't actively ruining your heart. Your life is being cut short by every stick you are putting in your body. This stick of things that are the texture of human feces and is already rotten. And all of that puts together this idea of this just tastes, feels in my mouth and in my hand awful. That's my case.
That was very elegantly stated. Never, first of all, I will say this. I mean, I just want to, I do feel like if your stool feels like butter, it's not probably not a health, like that. That's the one where I'm challenging right off the bat that feel, but you have also totally now altered my appreciation or lack of butter at this point. Poop is butter. Now, one thing that you said I thought I really loved was soap. And the fact is that soap is made of fat and butter is fat. So that one is breaking down some chemistry right there.
Yeah, so I'm like, why would I eat this?
Yeah, and bringing up the aged fact of butter. Is it rotten? Not so sure it's rotten, but it's definitely aged. It's definitely a byproduct of. And of course, what we were all expecting, the unhealthy aspect of butter, what it does to your arteries, should you be enjoying it. Robert, a tough 3 minutes from prop right there. He threw down many, many facts. He talked about texture
all right,
and health.
Well,
your 3 minutes as to why butter is awesome starts now.
Let's start by talking about health, okay? Now, I have always believed that one of the best ways to approach the question of longevity is not to try and seek the absolute maximum number of years you can get out of this life, because a variety of things that happen when you get to be more infirm cannot be super pleasant. I think a good way to live is to live long and die fast, right? When it comes, you want it to come instantly, and butter helps it come fast. Heart attack, that's a fast way to go. That's a fast way to go. And you're going to earn that end because you've been eating a lot of delicious food that's going to make the years that lead up to that quick end more worthwhile. Now, let's talk about the benefits of butter from a culinary standpoint. It's one of the most diverse foodstuffs it is. One of the things you can do with butter that I love to do with butter, you leave a stick of butter out, room temperature, right? Keep a little bit of cap on it, grab a piece of bread or something, smear some butter on that motherfucker, walk outside with a cup of coffee and buttered bread. You don't got to do anything more than that, and you're having a damn good time. You could put a little bit of prosciutto on that if you want, like, whatever. It's all on you. You don't need any more than that, but you can get it. You can also use butter. You got to make some cookies, right? You got to make a pie. You're going to use butter almost any delicious thing that you want to make. And in fact, unless you're really working hard to do the vegan thing, it's almost impossible to completely avoid butter because it's used in so many different foods. So even if you don't like butter and its texture, I'll guarantee you're eating some pie, you're eating some cake, you're eating some cookies that wouldn't be able to exist in their present form without butter. You know, we can talk about what it takes to make butter, you know, how unpleasant certain realities of crafting butter are. But I think that's something I think we all can also appreciate. You know, it's like with alcohol. Alcohol, a lot of gross stuff has to happen to make a beer. Doesn't mean beer's not good. You know, the final product is what we love. And I think that butter is a fundamentally clean and pure product. You can see it when you cut through a stick of warm butter with a knife. It just feels pure. It's like looking at a gold bar. It just feels so good. And so does, there's so many wonderful ways to get butter. My personal favorite, when you're in like Pennsylvania or one of these places with a big Amish population, you get those like Yule logs of butter. Oh my God. Unwrapping one of those, one of the most satisfying things you can do with a food product. And butter, you know, we're done.
Chiming in at the end of the 3 minutes, Robert breaking it down. Live long, die mm-hmm. fast.
Eat butter.
That's a title for you. And also really breaking down a really interesting point. Hey, if you like sweet things, cake, cookies, pie, dough, you probably like butter. You probably like butter. That's something that we might have to ask Prop. Getting into the rebuttal round. Here we go. 2 minutes, gentlemen, as we head into the back nine of our episode today. Prop, 2 minutes to let Robert know why he's absolutely wrong.
Well, butter as a cooking ingredient in cookies and such means I don't taste it anymore. So it's gone. It is now something else. I don't taste when cooking other things, I'm not biting something and separating each flavor out of it. I'm biting the new thing. So butter as a member of the whole is a totally different argument than butter as a standalone. So you could throw that one out the window. And you're living long and dying fast. I mean, you've kind of guaranteed the dying fast, but you've ended the living long. So you're not living long. You're just living short and dying fast. So that's an issue. And lastly, my breakfast, you can have a slice of bread and there's Nutella, there's syrup, there's peanut butter, there's hazelnut cream. There are so many other things that are, I'm going to argue, remarkably more glorious than a room temperature piece of plasma that is made of what I'm actively trying to burn off every time I go exercise.
Crystal, I mean, point for point, I feel like you've been in a freestyle battle before, Prop.
Okay.
Because the
come up with responses immediately.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You're trying to burn off the stuff you're eating. I love the response to butter. And you're right. Like, you're not eating a pie and thinking about, ooh, this tastes like butter. You're thinking that this is a pie. It changes its texture. It changes its flavor. Robert, that was a strong rebuttal. Your 2-minute rebuttal to Prop starts now.
Well, I think a big part of his rebuttal is him rebutting himself, because he's pointing out that butter can be delightful and incredibly important in his diet just when it's not in its raw form. But that's one of the things that's wonderful about butter, is its versatility, is that it can be turned into virtually anything or made into a part of virtually anything, and you miss it when it's gone. As anyone who's had like a cookie or a pie made with a fake butter or a butter substitute can tell you, the thing that is irreplaceable is what butter does. And I, you know, we can all enjoy some hazelnut butters and whatnot, but as to your point about it being made of the same thing you're trying to get rid of, there's just as much fat in that kind of stuff. It's not really better for you. It's just mimicking butter, both in terms of its flavor and its consistency, and in terms of its health impacts. Now, we can have a question about what it actually means to live long, but I think I would note that stress kills, and very few things alleviate stress better than eating a pie. So that's going to be my rebuttal.
Whew, it's a hot one in the food court today.
Touche.
Nothing relieves stress like eating a pie. Can't say I disagree with that. Two crazy rebuttals right there. The best rebuttal we've had, at least in season two, for sure. And I can't remember season one. Now it comes time for me to make my verdict. I'm going to go retire to the chambers. When I come back, I'll have a decision. Till then, let's take a quick break.
See, he gets chambers prop. We ought to have chambers.
Yeah, we should have chambers. Professional chef running a lap.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I've run 6 New York City marathons.
Let's go. That's why you can have all that butter.
Dude, there it is. We are back in the food court. It is propaganda versus Robert Evans, the battle of butter. Should you have it? Should it be in the world? Should you touch it? Maybe not after props argument right there. I have thought long and hard about this verdict, basically about 21 seconds today. Ooh. Before I deliver my final verdict, prop Robert, is there any last thing you want to say to this court that could potentially alter my decision?
I don't know, man.
I'm mostly just glad.
It just tastes weird. Yeah.
I was just going to say, I'm mostly glad we're on the same page about squash.
Yeah, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, there it is. This court decides in favor of... We are pro butter. Robert Evans, I cannot imagine a world without butter. Although I'm going to have to touch it now to make sure that it does not feel like feces.
I mean, he's right about that. It does kind of feel like poop.
Live fast, die young.
It's a great
argument.
Nothing
relieves stress like a buttery, flaky pie dough. Prop, you look a little disappointed. Our listeners can't see it.
I'm disappointed because his arguments are great. They actually make a lot of sense. You're absolutely right. Butter's very easy. It's in everything. It's on your table or in the fridge. It's up to you. Every dessert I actually enjoy have butter in it. There are times when I'm making eggs, you know, over easy, over medium, and if I don't got the expensive avocado oil, a little bit of butter on the pan, and they do taste better. The problem is butter's gross. And I can't get past the molecules in my tongue and the feeling for which it invokes that I'm like, it's just gross. But everything he said is correct. So I'm in this existential crisis because I'm like, yeah, you're right. And I feel like my life would be much easier if I enjoyed butter.
And I think honest people have to grapple with this.
Yes.
Well said. An amazing debate. Everyone, thank you so much for listening to Food Court. I'm Richard Blaze, and I've been your judge. Thank you so much for coming, gentlemen. It was an epic ride. I hope you both had a good time.
Let's go.
For more Robert, check out his new fiction podcast that just dropped called After the Revolution. And of course, Behind the Bastards, both right here on iHeart. He's on Twitter at iWriteOK. What's your new show like, Robert?
It's a book that I wrote after reporting from a couple of war zones and then needing to process all of that. And yeah, it's both free as a podcast, and there will be an EPUB up free online on a website that will exist at some point in the future.
Unbelievable. Got to check it out. And Prop, check out his new book, Terraform, Build a Better World, and his podcast, Hood Politics, and on Twitter and Instagram at Prop Hip Hop. Hey, listen, everyone, what do you think? Do you think I got it wrong? Do you like butter? Do you not like butter? Can you not stand it? Are you lurking out there feeling brave enough to announce that you didn't like butter? I know you will, because there's lots of trolls out there. Go to Food Court Pod Instagram and vote. You can also find me across social media at Richard Blaze and on TikTok at Richard Blaze Official. Food Court is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Richard Blaze. My producer is Crystal Bamahi. Food Court was created by our executive producer, Christopher Hasiadis. The rest of my Food Court clerks are David Wasserman and Jasmine Blaze. The theme song is by Jason Neesmith. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Food Court with Richard.